guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth.
I hope you will like
it. Hello there. Let me check your visitor's pass. Yes, this seems to be in order. Come in. Hello and welcome to the Paranormal Hotline Remote Radar and Sky Tracking Station, a totally not fictional installation from which we send you this podcast. Paranormal Hotline is a weekly podcast that covers a strange, spooky and bizarre coming to you over sub-ether wave. I don't know what sort of device you're listening on, but turn it up to an appropriate volume and enjoy. My name is Oisin, and I might be able to see ghosts, maybe. And I'm joined by my co-ghost, Kaylee.
Hello.
Hey Kaylee, how are you? Are you a hallucination?
Imagine this podcast the entire time was just you talking to yourself.
That would be wild.
How are you, Oisin?
I'm good.
I mean,
you show up on the
recording
this week. How am I? I'm doing fine. I've been watching Ultraman.
Ooh.
And that's kind of left me in like an alien mood.
Nice. Oh, Ultraman's a classic.
I'm a fan of the original. And then I was looking at, I think it was last year, they did like Shin Ultraman.
They did the
like film reboot.
They did like a 3D animation one as well on Netflix. It was really weird.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, a few weeks back, I was visiting my girlfriend in the place where I saw a UAP or UFO that or whatever, you know. But this time around, a couple of weeks ago, it was quite a misty night and I was leaving to go to home. And there was like this red light coming through the fog or whatever, like over the hill.
Yeah.
So it was lighting up the fog. Like I couldn't see what the source. It was just like this big red light. And like, you know, it was well dark. It wasn't like the sun. Also, it was in the wrong place for the sun. I thought there could have been something on fire over the hill. But when I drove up that way, I couldn't see anything of it. Like it had gone by the time I was leaving.
That's really weird. Was it like moving or?
No, it was like, you know, the hill is on fire or something.
I mean, like, a lot of UAPs are described as fires in the sky, so...
Yeah, it could have been a fire in the sky beyond the hill or something had landed or I don't know.
And you didn't think to investigate?
It was gone by the time I was in the car.
All right, fair. You didn't take a picture?
I was driving up that direction. No, I didn't.
You're one of those witnesses that has nothing to to prove anything.
No, absolutely not.
We need to just strap a GoPro to your head 24/7.
I should, yeah. See the ghosts as well. So, on top of that and my alien mood, I decided to look at what's called the Rendlesham Forest Incident. Do you know anything about this to begin with?
I don't think so. Where did it happen?
Over in England, near Ipswich. It's referred to as Britain's Roswell.
Yes, I have heard of this. I watched a thing on it before with Craig Charles.
Yes, yeah. Yes, he covered it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was excellent. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I actually have heard of this case then. It's a pretty interesting one. I don't know an awful lot, but from what I remember, it was pretty good.
It is December 1980. The place is Rendlesham Forest. Rendlesham Forest, to answer your question earlier, it's in Suffolk, England, which, due to my lack of English geography knowledge, that's utterly meaningless information. So it's about 13 kilometres east of Ipswich, which still is meaningless to me. Now, I'm joking because I looked on a map during my research. But until then, I was in the dark. It's essentially, if you were to go like northeast of London,
yeah,
up until you kind of reach the coast.
Yeah, yeah. Everything in England is just, where is it in relation to London?
Yeah. There was two military bases nearby, RAF Bentwaters to the north of the forest and RAF Woodbridge, which was partially in the forest. Both were being used by the Yanks, the United States Air Force. They were under the command of a man called Wing Commander Colonel Gordon E. Williams. The base commander there was Colonel Ted Conrad, and his deputy was Lieutenant Colonel Charles I. Halt. Halt is an important name to remember because a lot of the evidence comes from him and his accounts.
I think I'll remember the name Captain Halt. Wait, was he a captain?
That's his Lieutenant Colonel.
God damn it. Okay, I won't remember that.
Halt. Just remember Halt.
Okay.
Yeah, what's mad about this case is it has, like, the crux of it comes from a memo written by Halt. So someone, like, you know, quite high ranking.
Which is always so really cool to see.
It came out after the event by a couple of weeks. So it's dated the 13th of January, 1981. Kind of in that slip up, he's out by one day in what he describes. So he's going to say the 27th. He really means the 26th.
Okay.
But he just gets that wrong just with the change in time. The subject line is unexplained lights. Early in the morning of 27 December approximately 0300L, two US Air Force security police patrolmen saw unusual lights outside the back gate at RAF Woodbridge. Thinking an aircraft might have crashed or been forced down, they called for permission to go outside the gate to investigate. The on-duty flight chief responded and allowed three patrolmen to proceed on foot. The individuals reported seeing a strange glowing object in the forest. The object was described as being metallic in appearance and triangular in shape, approximately 2 to 3 metres across the base and approximately 2 metres high. It illuminated the entire forest with a white light. The object itself had a pulsing red light on top and banks of blue lights underneath. The object was hovering or on legs. As the patrolman approached the object, it manoeuvred through the trees and disappeared. At this time, the animals on a nearby farm went into a frenzy. The object was briefly sighted approximately an hour later near the back gate.
Wait, they saw it again afterwards?
Yes.
So it disappeared off into the woods and then reappeared again?
Yes.
That's weird.
According to this report, and also to say this report was, in, I think day one is based on the reports of the witnesses to him, sort of thing.
Yeah. So it was like a triangle with a red light on top and blue lights underneath it. Metallic.
It was a series of lights, yeah, that had that, yeah. According to here, that's what it says.
I don't know. See, that sounds human. Red and blue lights and they're flashing, you know? Could this be like an early prototype of a drone or something, you know? What year was it again?
Who knows? 1980.
That's a bit early for drones. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know enough about space, not space, but aircraft to know. It just sounds human. What do you think?
Yeah, it does in that description.
Yeah, I assume there's more descriptions of it then.
It's very much just kind of lights, you know? The memo continues. 2. The next day, three depressions of 1.5 inches deep and 7 inches in diameter were found where the object had been sighted on the ground. The following night, 29th of December 1980, which should be the 28th, the area was checked for radiation. Beta/gamma readings of 0.1 millirontgens were recorded, with peak readings in the three depressions and near the center of the triangle formed by the depressions.
Is that high?
No.
No, okay.
It is a relatively low number, and that's something that gets pointed out by skeptics. Like, you know, this measurement, they got it because they were measuring something. A nearby tree had moderate 0.05 to 0.07 readings on the side of the tree towards the depressions. 3. Later in the night, a red sun-like light was seen through the trees. It moved about and pulsed. At one point, it appeared to throw off glowing particles and then broke into 5 separate white objects and then disappeared. Immediately thereafter, 3 star-like objects were noticed in the sky. 2 objects to the north and 1 to the south. All of which were about 10 degrees off the horizon. The objects moved rapidly in sharp angular movements and displayed red, green and blue lights. The objects turned to the north, appeared to be elliptical through an 8-12 power lens. They then turned to full circles. The objects to the north remained in the sky for an hour or more. The object to the south was visible for 2 or 3 hours and beamed down a stream of light from time to time. Numerous individuals, including the undersigned, witnessed the activities in paragraphs 2 and 3. Signed, Charles I. Holt, Lieutenant Colonel, US Air Force, Deputy Base Commander. So what do you think of that? Like, what do you make?
That's nuts.
It is.
Could you imagine, like, being on the base that night?
Absolutely.
Everyone being frantic. That sounds so cool.
Regardless of what it is, it's mad to get something like that from such a high-ranking official, like, in the base.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. Yeah, I just assume that, like, because it's the 80s, they just had no idea what to... And, like, the UK as well, they just had no idea what they were dealing with. So they were, you know, they were pretty open about everything.
Yeah, so it's the Americans have a base there.
Yeah, but it's in the UK.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I assume, like, they didn't know, they were not expecting it in the UK, I assume.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I've sent you a map there of the forest and kind of based on what people have said, kind of where the things are.
And this was all in the forest, so all the lights and stuff were seen in the forest.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool. That just, like, I'm picturing it in my head and it would be so cool to see.
You might notice there's a second red dot marked lighthouse in that map.
Yes.
Yes. So if we go back to that report, day one on the 26th, the individual witness reports, they refer to lights in in the, you know, in the trees. Some of them refer to them as a beacon, and then one guy genuinely identifies it as the nearby lighthouse, which is Orfordness Lighthouse.
And then, yeah, I mean, if you see a pulsating light in the sky, your first thought should always be, is there a lighthouse nearby?
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes, like, I know from where I used to live, you could see the lighthouse depending on the weather and stuff. So you might not see it for a long time, and then you'll see it one night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, we get it every now and again here.
Yeah.
And it catches me every single time.
Yeah, same. I immediately start thinking War of the Worlds.
Yeah, so there was that lighthouse, which is along the same line of sight that they gave in their witness statement. So some of the bearings that they gave,
yeah,
matches up kind of roughly to where the lighthouse would be. And it's in the same line of sight. It's also, at the time in the 1980s, was one of the brightest lighthouses in the UK.
Okay.
So skeptics like to jump on that.
Yeah, I mean, understandably.
Yes, absolutely understandably.
I mean, like, there's one thing of, it, you know, seeing this triangular object or whatever, and then when you're looking, you can see a pulsating light. You're going to mistake the lighthouse for the object. So
yes.
It's like, yeah, there I can also understand why skeptics jumped on that.
Also for, like, different colors and such, like, there would have been lightship in the area, which is essentially, like, a lighthouse but on a boat.
Oh, I've never heard of a lightship before.
No, they are things. They are definite
things. I'm not surprised, because we found a lighthouse in the middle of the country once. So I'm not shocked by anything
it's
anymore.
It's fantastic. Like, you know, come to Ireland, we have... have a
I feel like we should explain that, because that is a very odd thing. Like, yeah, literally in the middle of the country, we found a lighthouse.
Like, picture the most inland place possible, and then, like, build a lighthouse on a hill there.
There was a hill on top. Yeah, it was on the top of a hill, and basically, it was like when Ireland was going through the famine, the British didn't want to just give people food or money, so they were like, "All right, build a lighthouse."
Work for it.
And we'll give you stuff for it. And they literally built this useless building in the middle of the country.
It was Swatch, like, racing from the top of as well, potentially, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It was very strange. It's kind of like, I almost didn't believe what I was looking at.
I know. It seemed so out of place. It seemed like someone had just, like, you know, cut and pasted it.
Yeah, so I totally believe that there would be light boats somewhere near this base.
It makes sense to have a light boat. Like, at least boats go on the water.
Yeah, yeah. That makes way more sense. Do you think what you saw the other night could have been a light boat?
No, because it was definitely the opposite direction than the sea.
Inland, you say?
It was one of those new fangled lighthouses that we build inland.
For the land boats,
the
obviously.
Land boats, yeah, the land ships. If you're enjoying the podcast, you can help it out. We have a Patreon, and that's a way to directly support the podcast. A little money goes a long way to help us put out an episode every week, and you'll get access to our Discord, where we're always chatting and posting about and in between episodes. That's over at www.patreon.com/paranormalhotline. We are on social media, and if you are too, you should consider following us there. On Instagram, we are Paranormal Hotline, and that's where we post pictures from our adventures and investigations. On Twitter, we are ParanormalHL, and that's also a good place to get in touch with us. Finally, you can help us out for free! By rating the podcast wherever you listen to it. And don't forget to subscribe if you want to get it as soon as it comes out each week. Jim Pennison, who was one of the three individuals who ventured out onto the woods in December, he made an exceptional declaration about the event. Following the encounter, when he was doing his witness statements, he created a series of illustrations of the craft that were requested by Ted Conrad, the base commander.
Show me them. Show me the drawings. Yes.
Here are the drawings.
Oh, that looks like the best toasty cheesy ever.
Doesn't it just?
Cut into triangles. No, that looks really cool. I love the little, like, wizard hat that the ship has.
For our listeners at home, imagine it's very definitely triangular and it has these tiny little legs. And then on top, it seems to have, like, a triangular pyramid. The corners of it are counter to the triangle of the main body.
It almost looks like a shark fin or something.
It does. From the side, it looks like a shark fin. If it was coming front at you, it would look like the Pope's hat or a triangle. The various reports have been investigated, and in the background, the Ministry of Defence did do a cursory investigation based on this report. And then they didn't investigate further, and they come out and said this, and they've said it's no threat to our defense, or, you know, it's not a, we didn't see a threat. So then, and then there's no other reports on the incident made by either the US or the UK apart from that one memo. Holt has gone on record as saying he believes that he witnessed an extraterrestrial event that was then covered up.
Oh my god, well, fair play to him for coming out and saying that.
He comes out swinging.
Yeah.
Just also around that time, the Suffolk police responded to the location on two occasions, during the night of the first sighting and then the next morning. But they failed to discover any abnormalities. During the first night, they observed that the only illumination came from the Orford Lighthouse. They explained the marks on the ground as being caused by animals.
Animals? What kind of triangular animals do they have in the UK? Yes, the triangular tree frog.
No, from what I've seen, and this is what like it gets compared to, is like rabbit digging.
The diggings are... That's awfully convenient. What is the pizza rabbit?
The pictures were incredibly grainy, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Because they're like
it's
a photo.
It's the 1980s.
It's like a Xerox of a, you know.
I feel like it's really easy to tell if a rabbit's been digging something up. Like, it leaves little tiny rabbit paws, especially if it's dug something deep, you know. Also, what the hell? Do rabbits even dig?
Yeah. How do you think they live?
Like? Yeah, but that's just like a random hole in the middle of the forest.
He wrote that one of the police constables who had attended the scene on the first night returned to the site in daylight in case he had missed something. He writes then, there is nothing to be seen and remains unconvinced that the occurrence was genuine, wrote Topless. The immediate area was swept by powerful beams from the landing beacon at RAF Bentwaters and the Orfordness Lighthouse. I know from personal experience that at night, in certain weather and cloud conditions, these beams were very pronounced and certainly caused strange visual effects. His memo that he wrote, it just kind of remained internal until in 1983, when a Freedom of Information Act got it published. As you can imagine, the press went mad. The News of the World did a front page article on it, which is a tabloid paper, just so you know. And so, you know, get your pinch of salt. What is very Hollywood and cool, though, and I don't mean Hollywood in like a made up fake alien sort of way. I mean, like, if I was doing a film, I would do it this way. The next year, in 1984, Colonel Sam Morgan, who replaced Ten Conrad as Holt's superior, he released a tape that Holt had made during his investigation the second night. And it's live from the forest of his observations. And it sounds great.
Oh, that is so cool.
Let's rush to the edge of the woods up there. Can you undo a lot of light? Let's do it carefully. Come on. Okay, we're looking at the thing. We're probably about 200 to 300 yards away. It looks like an eye winking at you. It's still moving from side to side. And when you put the star scope on it, it sort of has a hollow center, a dark center. It's like a pupil of an eye looking at you and winking. And the flash is so bright to the star scope that it almost burns your eye. We passed the farmer's house and across in the next field. Now we have multiple sightings of up to 5 lights with a similar shape and all, but they seem to be steady now rather than a pulsating or glow with a red flash. We just crossed the creek, and we're getting what kind of readings there. Getting through 3 good clicks on the meter, and we're seeing strange lights in the sky. Not too far, we're at the far side of the second farmer's field, and made sighting again about 110 degrees. This looks like it's clear out to the coast. It's right on the horizon. Moves about a bit and flashes from time to time. Still steady or red encounter. Also, after negative readings in the solar field, we're picking up slight readings, 4 or 5 clicks now on the meter. 3:05, we see strange strobe-like flashes to the rather sporadic, but there's definitely something there, some kind of phenomenon. 3:05, at about 10 degrees horizon directly north, we've got 2 strange objects, half-moon shape, dancing about with colored lights on them. But guess to be about 5 to 10 miles out, maybe less. The half-moons have now turned into full circles. As though there was an eclipse or something there for a minute or two. 3:15, now we've got an object about 10 degrees directly south, 10 degrees off the horizon. And the ones in the north are moving, one's moving away from us. Moving out fast. Yeah, we're both heading north. Oh, here he comes from the south. He's coming toward us now. Now we're observing what appears to be a beam coming down to the ground. This is unreal.
330, here's Evo 330, and the objects are still in the sky, although the one to the south looks like it's losing a little bit of altitude. We're turning around and heading back toward the base.
The object to the
south is still beaming down lights to the ground. Over 100 hours, one object still hovering over Woodbridge Base at about 5 to 10 degrees off the horizon, still moving erratic and similar lights and beaming down this area.
What'd you make of that?
That is terrifying. It looks like an eye, is what he said at the start, which is
that's
really
why I started
scary.
It there.
Yeah, no. And then he was like, there's an eye. And then he was like, there's 5 of them. I'm like, what? That's horrifying. And then he's like, oh, the one to the south or whatever is beaming lights down to the ground. Yep. Like, what? No. I don't want it to do that. That's terrifying. That's really, really scary. And like, the fact is, like, this is like a military personnel that's after spotting this. Imagine if you weren't. You just like wouldn't tell anybody, would you though?
Well, like, no one's going to believe you. You're just going to be told that you're crazy.
No, that's really cool. I really, really like that. I love the way he logged it and everything. Oh, yeah, that was great.
That's what I mean. Like, if I was making a film, that's how it would be. It's
audio
it sounds
logs.
So perfect. It sounds so perfect. Like,
yeah, it's great. Oh man, that's so good. Really, really cool. Oh, it gave me chills actually. Like, oh, that would freak you out though, right? That would freak anybody out. For
yeah.
it to look like an iris, like,
blink at you.
No,
what do you
I
do when
like
the
that.
Universe winks at you? Wink back.
Wink back. Hit on the universe.
Yeah, make eye contact with the universe.
I think I'd just start crying.
Larry Warren, a former Air Force police officer, made some claims. One being that a Major General walked up to the spacecraft, touched it, and communicated with the aliens in the woods.
What? Who said that?
Holt said that this was fiction.
Okay.
So it does get kind of wild.
Yeah,
it's
that's
kind of
mental.
Like, and actually, like, Holt came out of silence because there was so much misinformation being tacked on, especially after the newspapers got on it. Like, in 2010...
That would really suck, though. Imagine if, like...
It would.
Imagine if you witnessed this incredible thing and then people are putting, you know, tails and ears on it. That would suck.
Yeah, absolutely. So, in 2010... Holt signed a statement about his account, making more of an account, and it is to be noted the details did change a bit, but this could be possible. This is like, you know, it was 30 years later, but
yeah.
He kind of importantly, he hits out about the cover up or the alleged cover up. A section from his statement reads, "I believe the objects that I saw at close quarter were extraterrestrial in origin, and the security service of both the United States and the United Kingdom have attempted both then and now to subvert the significance of what occurred at Rendlesham Forest and RAF Bentwaters by the use of well-practiced methods of disinformation."
Did they not, like, find broken tree trunks and stuff after this occurrence as well? That kind
they,
of
they
hinted
did,
that
yes.
it was a crash.
They found some stuff and they were like, oh, were these burnt off or was there a crash? But then also there was, like, it was a forestry area.
Oh, right, okay.
And, like, there was forestry men.
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember
like,
seeing
well,
pictures
actually, I was
of...
axing that.
Oh, right. I remember seeing pictures of, like, tree tops that looked like something had, like, literally smashed into them and broken them. Like, they were
mm-hmm.
hanging.
Yeah.
Which was kind of odd. But, like, you never... I don't really know much about trees or forestry, so I don't know how that would happen otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just something that's really common.
Yeah. Now, one thing to say that this also does line up time-wise with a fireball in the sky over England. Like, a meteor.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like a meteor.
Right.
According
yeah,
to astronomers.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop and wink at you, you know?
No, it doesn't, no. that's the lighthouses, Kaylee. They're the ones that wink at you.
If a lighthouse ever winks at me, I know my time is over.
So Peniston, the fellow who drew the picture earlier, he did hypnosis in 1994, and he asserted that he had come into physical contact with the spacecraft, which was decorated with intricate coded symbols, and received a telepathic transmission of data in binary code.
What?
Yes.
What?
So that's what he said.
He got binary code from touching the... Okay.
Yeah, straight into his brain.
Uploaded straight to his brain like the Matrix.
I have a drawing that he did. Another drawing.
All right. Show me.
Of the hieroglyphs.
What is this?
I don't know.
This looks like IKEA instructions.
For our listeners, picture some annual shapes on a page. No, picture they're all quite angular, of varying complexities. And then on the second half of the page, the lower half, there's the outline of a circle that has a triangle with three points meeting the edges of the circle, standing upright in it. And then it is covered by two black circles, one on the edge and then another one in line with it, covering part of the triangle. This bit is especially wild. He further revealed that he encountered beings who were not extraterrestrial, but rather human time travelers from the future.
All right.
It has been pointed out that this is very similar to a film.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it, but it is more or less the exact same thing as a film.
I mean, I'm more inclined to believe it's just extraterrestrial, but I know a lot of people do believe in the whole alternate dimension humans visiting
time travel. I would sooner believe altered dimensions. I don't believe in time travel, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, there's no... Was there not something that was proven that if time travel ever was possible, we can go forward, but we can never go backwards?
Oh, well, I mean, if you go, like, time slows the faster you get to the speed of light. So, just by that, by that process alone.
By that alone, like, we actually technically have done time travel on a very small scale.
Oh, yeah. So, like, that's just general relativity. But, like, they have to account for this with, like, the satellites that do, like, our GPS. Because they're moving too fast, they have to reset, you know, they have to account for that, like a second a year or something.
Yeah, it's very minimal, but yeah. I don't think time travel back the way is possible, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I looked it up here. There's a sci-fi channel movie called Official Denial, which was released in 1993, that is incredibly similar. A little bit of skeptic time, because, you know, we want to... Ian Ridpath, who's a BBC journalist, he went to Rendlesham Forest in 1983, probably when the case broke. He's been back many times since. He writes a lot about it. He had a bunch of causes for kind of the unexpected lights that Holt had written about. So on that day, there was an exceptionally bright meteor that was seen by others in southern England. He also says that the landing marks were not cleanly cut or equidistant, rather just a result of rabbit diggings.
And okay.
Like I was saying earlier, the radiation levels measured weren't particularly high. Holt had a message to the skeptics, but I think it was like put out later. And I also think it was given in an interview with the journal.ie, or at least that's where I read it, which is oddly close to home. I don't know what he was doing talking to the journal, but here we are.
Yeah, that is a bit weird.
You know, just, it was just unusual. I didn't expect that that would be that crossover. I was a non-believer. I never really gave it a second thought before the incident, but I've got so much material from so many people and talked to very credible people that don't want their names used, that are in very influential positions, including some that are as high in the government as you can get. I can tell you, we're not alone. I can guarantee you that.
Ooh, spooky.
He says that.
I like him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
But then sort of like the skeptical side of that, kind of the timings that he's saying on his recording, it's like every 5 seconds, which was the flash rate of the lighthouse. Also, like, with some of the numbers that he says, like the headings, it was more or less where Sirius, so like the brightest star in the sky, would have been.
Oh my god.
So a lot of people think like, oh, it just like, it's a bunch of stuff lining up with the atmospheric conditions.
I'd love to go there and see though, you know?
Yeah. Well, you can actually, you know?
they
have a UFO trail now in the forest.
What?
And there's like a sculpture based on on the diagram, kind of.
Oh, that's so cool.
One of the things that came out was like, oh, someone said, oh, it's a hoax. It's actually the British Army. It's the SAS, and they're going specifically to fuck with the US Air Force, because they did something similar to them accidentally, I think, with like radar at the time, like, you know, it showed up. It was like a revenge thing.
It's just a prank, bro. That's so dumb.
Yeah. An investigation to that said that story about a hoax was actually a hoax.
Oh, it's like a dream within a dream. A hoax within a hoax.
Yeah, they had, like, they said that, like, you know, they attached flares and like remote controlled kites to like balloons and like black balloons, so they're just flying. And
remote control kites.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's where drone technology was for you, Kaylee. That's where human drone technology was.
That's pretty funny. Oh, I'm just looking at the statue that they have in the forest. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It'd be a good stroll, like.
That would be pretty cool. Wonder if you could go camping there.
Fun for all the family. So, what are your thoughts on all this?
It's pretty spooky.
It is.
I really like it. I don't know what I make of it, really. As in, did it actually happen or not? Or not did it happen, was it a UFO or not?
Mm-hmm.
It's so... There's so many different, like, parts of it that it's hard to say yes or no either way.
That's
what
I found.
But I really, really like the story. And I like Holt. Holt seems really cool.
Yeah, he's a man with the truth, and he's willing to share it.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I believe I'm required to say. As always, I want to believe. The one thing that's getting me is the lighthouse. Because, like,
yeah,
that's me. You know, I'm seeing myself in that. I get mixed up with the lighthouse the whole time. So,
yeah, but you have also seen a UFO, so...
I have genuinely seen the UFO, yes.
Oh, man, we have to see if we can go camping here.
Yes. I mean, we definitely can. Oh, are you there? Yeah. So I'm going to go with a maybe, a strong to hard maybe.
Yeah.
That's all we have time for this week. If you like the podcast, suggest us to your friends and family. We'd appreciate that. If you have any personal ghost stories that you'd like us to read out on the podcast, send them in to us at paranormalhotlinepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you have any stories that you'd like us to cover, send us an email or shoot us a message on any of our social media and we'll get back to you on it. Thanks for listening.
See ya. Bye.